let me first say that was just lovely. This morning's item was just lovely, and we are so privileged to have singers and musicians like we have. Now, I say that every time I stand up here, but I just happen to mean it, and I think that's really important. If you'd like to turn in your hymn book to number 138, we'll be looking at that for a little while tonight. Number 138. Robert Lowry Waite wrote this hymn, and we sang one of his earlier hymns. And just doing a little bit of research, he made the comment that he would sooner preach the gospel than write hymns. And somebody made the comment, nobody would remember any of his messages or his sermons, but we have his hymns written down. So he would sooner have preached, but his hymns have lasted. And we're just blessed for having them. What we're going to do tonight is have a look at this hymn in the light of today being Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday or the time where Christ arose. So I'm going to read through the verse for you, the three verses and the refrain. Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Saviour, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. And then the second stanza, vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Saviour. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. And then the third stanza, death cannot keep its prey, Jesus my Saviour. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. So Christ arose, came into Reverend Robert Lowry's mind during the Easter season in 1874, as he was enjoying his devotions one evening. The man had a quiet time every day of his life, I guess. And while he was reading Luke 24, 6 and 7, he came up and wrote this hymn. That's 144 years ago. 144 years ago. He was impressed by the words of the angel at the empty tomb, who said to the frightened women, he is not here, but is risen. I remember Pastor Wenham came back from the Holy Land or Jerusalem, and either he said it when he came out of the tomb or someone said it to him when they came into the tomb, but they said, he is not here, he is risen. And he is. Soon Robert Lowry found himself seated at a little pump organ in the parlour of his home, and in very spontaneous fashions, the words of music of Christ Arose gave expression to the thoughts that had been uttermost in his mind. Tonight we'll look at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as detailed in this hymn. So we'll start off with the first few words, lo, in the grave he lay. The Lord Jesus Christ had been crucified and temporarily left in another man's grave. They were going to come back on the following Sunday and properly prepare the body for burial. And so it was a temporary situation, and of course that's why the women came back on the Sunday. Matthew 27, 57 to 66, and if you'd like to look that up, it's long enough to look up, says, and when even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who was also himself was one of Jesus' disciples. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And then when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Verse 61. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed, the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that this deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. So at this point of time, Jesus was dead. He was sealed. He was secured. He was guarded. His body was safe. The enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ had won. They finally got him boxed into a cave, into a secure place, and he wasn't going to get out. The next words that we see is, "Jesus, my Saviour." Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? I've just got 5 points. My first point is he's the one who came to save the world from their sins. You remember in Matthew 1:21, that's what it was said. The one who came to save the world, it says his people, I know that, from their sins. He's the one that God said was to come. So this Jesus, whom they've got securely locked up, was the one that God said was to come. He's the one that the prophets said was to come. He's the one that John the Baptist said that he was not worthy to untie his laces. He's the one who created the world. So this is the Jesus, my Saviour. The next words are waiting the coming day. Waiting the coming day. God had set the third day for his son to rise from the dead. Jesus was waiting for that day, for him to appear after his resurrection. Now, you're going to ask me, what was he doing the other 2 days? What was he doing the other 2 days? Well, I'm not going to tell you, because that's another message for another time by another person. But he was certainly doing something on those 2 days. The next words we read in the hymn are, "Jesus, my Lord." Now, Jesus, my Saviour, Jesus, my Lord. Not only was Jesus to be the Saviour of the world, but he was to be Lord of all. I'll read it for you, but in Philippians 2:10-11, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So there will come a time, and as Pastor said this morning, it won't necessarily be at the same time for every person, but there will come a time when everyone that's ever lived will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We need to ask ourselves tonight, as we're sitting here, Is the Lord Jesus Christ Lord of my life? Is he my Saviour? Is he my Lord? Is Jesus Christ Lord of my life? Well, that moves us on to the refrain. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. On that first Easter Sunday, Jesus physically rose from the dead. This was a triumphant victory over death, for no one before him had risen from the dead. Nobody had gained victory over death. This resurrection meant that all, and I repeat all, would be resurrected from the dead. So every person that's ever lived is going to be resurrected from the dead. And I should note that some will be resurrected to heaven, but most will be resurrected to that other place that is not heaven, that we call hell. Everyone is going to be resurrected, some to heaven and some to hell. The second stanza says, he arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. When Christ arose, he defeated death. He defeated Satan's hold on men, and now he lives forever. He defeated death. Up until that point of time, death had appeared to be the end. Nobody could live forever. Even today, we've got people in hospitals trying to keep us alive. 70 used to be the number, and now it's probably another 10 years on that. I'm 70 plus, so I'm hoping that I can push that a little bit further. But when you get to 70, you start to think. But he defeated death. He made that great fear of the unknown to disappear. The powers of darkness were defeated. Those who want victory over Satan's power on their lives can now have the power to do it because the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It goes on to say, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Now, you may not agree with this statement, but that's okay. The fact that we have Easter Sunday in 2018 as a public holiday is, to me, proof positive of the physical resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would we have a public holiday on Friday and today for some people and Monday? Why do we have a public holiday for Easter? Why hasn't the government said, oh, we can't do that, that's a Christian thing? Why haven't we? The fact that it hasn't been, to me, is positive proof of the physical resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you can't prove it didn't happen. But we also have other witnesses to his resurrection. We have the two on the road to Emmaus. Remember the two walking with the Lord and the Lord speaking to them and them breaking bread and then recognizing who he was. We have Mary at the tomb. Now, I've said 512 witnesses at one time, because if you add up the numbers, it adds up to 512. 512 witnesses at the same time saw the Lord Jesus Christ alive. Well, we've got the 10 apostles. Now, I say 10 apostles because Thomas wasn't there, and therefore we now have to add in, and we have Thomas, remember? I will not believe, he said. I will not believe. And then what does he say? My Lord and my God. We've got Saul or Paul. It's one born out of time. He was positive about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got the witness of the Holy Spirit of God in all generations. The Holy Spirit of God has testified about the resurrection to every generation that has ever lived from the resurrection, and it's still happening today. We have the witness of God's word, again, to all generations, to all times, to all people. So we've got God's word testifying, we've got the Spirit of God testifying, we've got Christians and other people testifying about the physical resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the fact that in 2018 we're celebrating Easter Sunday. Only those who refuse to accept the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ can ignore or deny the physical evidence. If you check it out, you will find that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And as Pastor said this morning, over 2,000 years ago. It takes a really great faith in what you believe to deny the physical evidence of the resurrection. So anyone who says they don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, their faith is greater than mine. For them to believe that he didn't rise would take an awful lot of faith to believe. The next stanza goes on, says, vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Saviour. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. In these verses, I can see the world and I can see Satan vainly attempting to keep the Lord Jesus Christ dead in his grave. They're going to do everything they can to keep him there. I was thinking of when Braden comes around to catch rabbits at my place. You know what he does? He goes around that rabbit warren and he finds every exit that a rabbit could have. And he puts a little net over every single exit. Because if he doesn't, what happens? The rabbit escapes. And I've been with him when he does it. And this rabbit will just shoot out of the ground and we'll say, I'll miss that one. He does everything possible to make sure that none of those rabbits escape except into his traps when he puts his ferret down the rabbit warren. He and everybody else that goes rabbiting with him look for every exit that they might have missed. It's a really hard thing to do, to catch rabbits, because there are so many holes, so many places they can escape from. Well, with the Lord Jesus Christ, they were going to do everything they could to keep him in, to keep him in that grave. Why? Because they said, if he rises from the dead, that would be worse than the first incident. So what did they do? What did they do to keep him in that grave? Well, they rolled a large stone across the doorway. I'm assuming that it took more than one man to roll that stone. Now, I think the way they built it, it probably rolled downhill so that you could close it, but then to open it, you've got to push it uphill. And I think it would have taken more than one man. I mean, the women said, who's going to roll away the stone? They were concerned about that. they placed a Roman seal across the entrance. Why did they do that? That's man's authority. You know how the police put a tape around a crime scene and you're not allowed to go in there? Well, the Romans did the same thing. They put this seal on the entrance, man's authority. No one can go in here. They probably had up to 16 Roman soldiers, four at a time, on guard to see that nobody stole the body. A large stone, man's seal, probably at least four Roman soldiers in full uniform and full regalia to guard the body. They did everything they could to keep the Lord Jesus dead in the grave. The next stanza goes on to say, death cannot keep its prey. Jesus, my Saviour, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. What happened when Jesus tore the bars away? Well, the first thing that happened was he rose from the dead. That had never been done before. That had never been seen before. But because he was God's Son, he had authority to raise himself from the dead. He left his grave clothes where they were, where they lay. He was wrapped in a linen cloth, and obviously as he stood up, the linen cloth fell off, and it was sitting there. It just doesn't say in this hymn, and it didn't say in that passage that I read, but he folded the headcloth and put it separately. So he had a headcloth on, he took that up, he folded it up very neatly and placed it. You can see that in the other Gospels. He rolled back the stone. He defiled the Roman seal. He broke the Roman seal. He stunned the Roman soldiers somehow. He came out of the tomb. He rose from the dead. He appeared to many of the women, the apostles, and others. Man's trying to keep him in, but he himself got himself out of that situation. He broke the man's seal. He rolled away the stone. Now, we're not told what he did to the soldiers, but I should imagine if they were standing there and they saw that stone roll away of its own accord, or two angels helped it, depending on what you want to read, they see the Lord Jesus Christ step out of it, I think I'd be a little terrified if I was a Roman soldier witnessing that. So what conclusion, what can we draw from this application tonight? What would have been the consequences of Jesus not coming? And Pastor, I really had my notes finished and typed and in the car this morning. What would have been the consequences of Jesus not coming? Have not being born, have not living 33 years. What would have been the consequences of him not dying on the cross? Of him not being raised again? Of him not returning in the future? What would be the consequences? What would be our situation right here today if he had never come? Well, I've got 6 points. I'm sure there's more. We would still be all lost in our sins. Just think about that. We would still all be lost in our sins. There'd be no hope of life after death. Once we finish our 70 years or 1 year or 2 years or 100 years, that would be all there was. That would be all there was. So all we would have is this life. All we would have is this life. Can you imagine God going to all of the trouble to create the world as it is and the universe as it is just for us to come and live and die and that's it? I've got a quote here. We would have to get what we can what we get, and poison the rest. I'll read that to you again. We should get what we can what we get, and poison the rest. I mean, why would you do anything to help anybody else if this is all there is? You would live every moment as if it was your last. You've probably heard of people who have been perhaps diagnosed with cancer, and maybe they make a bucket list. Maybe they push forward things that they would like to do before they go. Well, you would have to live your life as if every moment was the last moment that you were going to have. And we would be of men most miserable. We would be of men most miserable. If the Lord Jesus Christ hadn't come, if he hadn't have died on that cross, if he hadn't been raised again, if he wasn't returning and coming again, we would be in a hopeless situation. And I'm sure that everyone in the room could name 10, 20, 30 people who are in that situation right now. The Lord Jesus Christ today means nothing to them. All right, well, what are the consequences of his coming? And there are consequences of his coming. Coming to be born, coming to live his 33 years, coming to die on the cross, coming to be raised again, coming to return. Well, we have forgiveness of our sins. We can go home, we can put our head on the pillow, and we can be, as it were, sinless. We can have forgiveness of sins. This life that we live is not all that we have. Now, if you watch television and you see the ads for Save the Children and things like that, we're in a really, really good position here in Australia compared to probably most other countries. And if the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't returning, it wouldn't be fair to be born in one of those countries, because you wouldn't have the same opportunities to at least live something. But because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, did come, did die, did rise again, then this life is not all that we have. We have life after death. When the heart stops beating and they put you in that box and bury you in the ground or however else you go, that's not the end. Someone might say that's the beginning. It's not the end, because we have life after death. Everyone will be raised, some to honour and some to dishonour. We should live a Christ-honouring life. That's one of the consequences, one of the responsibilities of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're bought with a price. And we should live a Christ-honouring life. Now, I've been in churches where on Sunday people were completely different to what they were every other day of the week. And that's a shame, and I don't believe that would be the case here. But when we're alone, when we're at work, we should be living a Christ-honoring life. We will live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's another consequence of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that, of course, is another message for another time. We won't be going there tonight. One thing we know today, that today is Resurrection Sunday. This is the day we celebrate on our calendar, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. More people will go to church today than probably any other day of the year. Why? Because it's Resurrection Sunday. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven, preparing a place for us, or for those who trust him. Just think about that for a minute. The creator of the world, the one who allowed himself to be nailed to the cross, the one who rose from the dead, the one who's coming back to receive us, is preparing a place for each one of us. That's a consequence, isn't it? We know that those who trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ will be with him in heaven. You notice I said those who trust the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor gave a message on lists, and I found that message fascinating. That because you see, a lot of years ago I was asked the question, how did I know I was a Christian? And I went through my list in my mind, and I couldn't convince myself from my list that I was saved. We all have lists, but we only have one thing on our list, and that is the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today's Resurrection Sunday. Please make sure tonight that Resurrection Sunday means something to you. When you leave, when you go home, just consider, what does it mean? What does today mean to you? And please make sure that when you leave here tonight, you know that you're saved. If you're not sure, ask someone. If you're not sure, make sure, because this would be a really good day to be saved. Just going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have today the privilege of being here in church to celebrate the rising of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that all of those witnesses testified that they saw him. I'm thankful that the Spirit of God ministers to each generation and confirms the resurrection. And I'm thankful that God's word shares with us very clearly that he was raised from the dead. Pray tonight as we go home that we'll not let this time just go, not let the evil one draw it away. But if we're not saved, if we don't have a testimony of salvation, if we're not sure of the day that the Lord Jesus Christ came into our hearts, that we'll ask someone tonight. And this could be the day that the Lord has made. Thank you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.